The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Let's talk some baseball right now. Friend of the show, Buster Olney, kind enough to join us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Buster, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. That Braves lineup, top to bottom, pretty dang impressive in terms of depth.
Where would you hit Michael Harris?
That's a great question. You know, that's funny because when you went up and down that lineup, that was the one guy who I looked at and I thought, boy, because of his speed, do you want him hitting in that spot? Do you want him bottled up between, you know, other guys who aren't as fast as he is? Do you want to reduce opportunities? I think that's fine, especially with what we saw, you know, extra base potential last year, hitting a fifth, and given how Olson is having such an incredible spring. I'm not touching Olson. Like, I'm leaving Olson in the spot that, he seems most comfortable, and I've always loved the idea of stacking your best hitters at the top of the lineup.
Right, so I know the Ronald Acuna thing is happening again, and maybe that's where he's most comfortable. I'm not calling it a one-trick pony to be able to hit a home run leading off. I still, for the life of me, don't like it. And I'm not telling you that I'm anywhere close to being right, but I don't like it. I don't think he's a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I'm okay with it because I think he can change the game. And, I wonder if you'd have the same feeling if not for what happened last year when he had so many ups and downs. I think he's going to be more consistent this year. When I was around the Braves, talked to Snitker, talked to the coaching staff, they all talked about how much better he looks physically. They think it's going to be a better season. You know, maybe last year was the year where he was kind of duck out of water hitting the leadoff. This year, I think it's going to be more comfortable. As they say, I really have always believed in the idea that you hit your best guys at the top of the lineup because it increases the likelihood that they're going to get another plate appearance late in the game. And so for me, if you're going to have this lineup and you're going to, you know, give, you know, 3-4 plate appearances to the best guys in your batting order, I want them to go to Ronald Acuna Jr. I want them to go to Matt Olson. I want them to go to Austin Riley.
Buster Olney with us from ESPN on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. I know you talked about the shortstop change, and you said Shumate could be the future based on some of the people you talked to more so than Grissom. All of that being said, how surprised were you to see them make those two moves, actually three moves in total?
A little bit, because you just had the feeling that they wanted for 2023, they wanted Grissom to be the guy. I actually was working on a story. I talked to Vaughn last week. And, you know, he was very, as always, you guys have gotten a feel for his personality. He's glass half full, positive, taking on work. I watched him, he and Ron Washington go through some drills. And at the end of it, and this is what you hear about Grissom, is that he's very open to feedback, very open to criticism. And Wash was talking with him. In my conversation with Wash, he mentioned, you know, the operative word for him about Grissom playing shortstop was patience. And I, when I heard it, my first thought was, yeah, the only problem with that is that if you're the Braves and you have World Series aspirations, and they should have World Series aspirations, can you live with what you think you're going to get at shortstop, whatever that is? What I was hearing from folks with other teams is they wondered about his range and whether or not that was going to be an issue. So in the end, they wind up with Arcia. I will tell you that folks with other teams that I've spoke with about this decision, you know, a couple of them have said they feel like that, that the options for the Braves weren't great to begin with, and they thought the Braves would be out the marketplace looking for a shortstop.
We kind of brought this up the other day. Orlando Arcia seems to be the one guy, certainly around here, that everybody just wants to add 5 years to his birth certificate. People talk about him like he's 33, 34. He's 28 years old.
That's exactly right. He's younger. And I know this from after this came down, reaching out to Braves people, and they talked about, you know, from their perspective, he was good. And quite frankly, so the shortstop position didn't work out the way you wanted to. During the since last season, they've added one of the two or three best catchers in baseball in Murphy. You know, I think Michael Harris is going to continue to grow. We've seen Austin Riley. It's like he, you know, his career you could measure with the side of a pyramid, where it just seems like he gets better every year. Matt Olson, all those doubles he had in the first half of last year, maybe some of those now he's figured out with a swing how to turn them into home runs. Acuna will be more healthy. Maybe it won't matter. You know, maybe it'll be a situation where they're essentially going to play around whatever deficiencies they have at shortstop. And, you know, I would say that all said, I feel like with the defensive shifts in watching some of these games in person, there's no doubt that the range of individual infielders is going to be tested in a way that we haven't seen in a long time, because a lot of guys with substandard range, it was covered up by the defensive shifts, and that's not going to be available to teams anymore.
Do you think the players, the pitchers especially, and to a certain extent the hitters, have adjusted to the pitch clock?
Not entirely. And a couple of complaints. I think one thing that I hear a lot from staffers is they are concerned about the variability from umpire to umpire when it comes to pitch clock enforcement. You know, we talk about that from time to time when we talk about strike zone interpretation. The perception of some of the staffers, managers, is that you're going to have some of that with the pitch clock as well, where some umpires are going to be more rigid. They think the young umpires, and there are a lot of them in baseball now, will go by the letter of the law. They think some of the older umpires are going to have more flexibility. For example, when the catcher bats last, getting on his equipment, getting out onto the field. And they're worried about that. You know, I've heard from managers that they feel like some umpires are if the buzzer, you know, they feel the buzzer on their arm, some umpires are more inclined to back it up with enforcement than others. And that's not a great situation. I do think eventually the players wind up adjusting to the pitch clock. There have been guys that I've spoken to this spring who, you know, they'll tell you, yeah, I'm still not quite comfortable with the pace we have. Pete Alonso is one of those examples of guys. Alec Boehm of the Phillies said, you know, it's a work in progress for me. I think most of the players within a couple months, they'll be fine. But I can guarantee you this, there's going to be complaining early in the year, especially by guys who are not performing well.
Yeah, and we'll find out if it's complaining the old-fashioned way, where you face an umpire and complain, or if it's going to be that, I don't want to look at you, but I'm not very happy right now. There's two scenarios that I keep thinking of where human element is going to come in. One of them is going to be the engagement part of it with the hitters. I do think there's going to be, what's the definition of engaged? Well, one guy might be a little bit different than the other. And the other one is, we've seen umpires who I think at times like to hand a baseball to a catcher. That's the great delay. If my pitcher needs a blow, ball goes out of play. If I'm a catcher, I'm asking for it and I'm holding on to it for a few seconds. I don't know how many umpires are going to hand baseballs to catchers this year.
Well, Chris, it's funny you say that. That's actually when Major League Baseball has done its testing in the minor leagues. The most overt delay tactic that they saw came from the catchers in exactly the scenario that you talked about. And they've, you know, encouraged the umpires, look, police that, you know, clean that up. Make sure that catchers don't do that. You're right. You know, that's one way to go. I had Roger Clemens on my podcast yesterday. Taped with him, and he had an interesting idea about weaponizing the pitch clock. You know, we've seen Max Scherzer do some of this stuff in spring training where he's trying to, you know, really mess with the hitter's mind, mess with his tempo. Rogers said that if he had an 0-2 count and he was trying to get inside of the head of the hitter, he might just wait out the 15 seconds and take the delay and go to a 1-2 count and really get the hitter wondering, is he going to throw the ball this time? Oh, yeah, is he going to throw a fastball? Is he going to throw a curveball? I think there are some pitchers who will do that, but, you know, I was at a game that Garrett Cole pitched this spring, and he was asked about some gamesmanship with the pitch clock, and he's like, nah, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to pitch the way I've always pitched.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
It is going to be fascinating to see how people adjust and how they tweak the rules. No question about that. Buster Olney from ESPN with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. You also tweeted about Shohei Ohtani and the possibility of $600 million. I've said it. I just can't see Steve Cohen letting him get away.
Well, and I also can't see the Dodgers letting the Mets get him without a huge fight. And if you look at everything the Dodgers did during the course of this offseason, it seemed to be with an eye toward the future of spending big and spending in the upcoming offseason. You know, their moves that they made were very incremental. J.D. Martinez for 1 year. They're getting potentially under the luxury tax threshold this year, resetting. And they'll be in a great position to run at Ohtani. I know they've had conversations with players about that in their organization, people in the front office talking to players about, you know, run at Ohtani. He can't be in a better position if you are a potential free agent. He is one of the top 10 hitters in the world. He's one of the top 10 pitchers in the world. His improvement as a pitcher in the last 2 years has been remarkable. He also is the most marketable player in the world, and he's going to hit free agency at a time where you have the New York Mets with his new owner who's devoted to the idea of winning a World Series. And his hire, his general manager, Billy Epler, was the one who lured Ohtani to the Angels. So Steve Cohen might feel like he has a secret weapon in pursuing Ohtani. And then you have the Dodgers. Knowing Ohtani's impact, having seen it up close, just down the freeway in Anaheim, you know, those two teams are going to be involved. You can never rule out the Yankees. The Mariners potentially be involved. Maybe the Giants are involved. I do think it's going to come down to Steve Cohen's money against the Dodgers' money.
The crazy part about it, though, is I can lose on one throw. I can lose the guy, the hitter and the pitcher, for an entirety of a year and have to worry about does he come back. I'm not telling you it can't happen to anybody, but if we're going to be in the $60 million range, he blows an elbow or a shoulder, I lose both versions of the guy.
You're right, but he also is the only player in baseball who provides an insurance policy just in his range of skill. Let's say that, you know, he's got a sore shoulder and so he can't pitch. Well, all you have then is a $30 million a year hitter. That's not bad. Who's selling a ton of tickets, right? There's nobody else, you know, if, you know, for example, Justin Verlander signed with the Mets this spring. If it's an arm problem, that's it. Like, you're not getting any value out of that player. With Ohtani, you have layers of value built into it in a way that no other player does. And I think because of that, because of the fact you're going to have these two monster franchises, I presume will be bidding on him, that's why I think the number's going to get pushed to $60 million a year, $600 million in the contract. It's going to be remarkable, and there's no doubt this year is going to be the year of Ohtani, because we're going to be watching the Angels in the early months of this season wondering if they're going to put him out on the trade market.
I know you saw it when they gave him the MVP the other night in a World Baseball Classic. He's between Rob Manfred and Tony Clark, and I said they were looking at him like they wanted to clone him like he was a sheep. How many more of these guys would they love to have for their business? Because that's the other part of this. It's the business. It's attracting eyeballs. Do you think the World Baseball Classic was such a hit that the pitching for the United States, guys are going to insist that they go if there is such a thing to their teams?
I think there's actually an easy solution to this, because that, you know, Rob said he wants to see more high-end pitchers participate. I actually think when you get down to the quarterfinal rounds, what should be made available to all teams, not just Team U.S., Team USA, is why not allow all 30 teams to be feeders for the respective nation teams, in the way that teams use it, minor league affiliates. Look, on the same day that WBC was played, Verlander started a game for the Mets and threw 4 1/3 innings. Why wasn't he available for that game? You know, and as opposed to what we're having now, I can tell you at the team level, there's a lot of complaining about how when players are, you know, with their nation teams, the major league teams don't like the communication they're getting. They don't like the email saying, hey, can we pitch this reliever on back-to-back days? Hey, can, you know, this guy, you know, can he, you mind if we don't start him, meaning that player's behind in innings? Why not just leave the pitchers, not only Team U.S., but, you know, Team Venezuela, Team Dominican Republic, allow them to keep their pitchers in their camps, and then when they're needed to pitch in a WBC game, get them on a plane, put them in a car, get them on a bus, a team bus, and go down and pitch in the games. I've spoken with three general managers about this idea in the last 24 hours. They say it makes all the sense in the world because it would allow the teams, major league teams, to continue to monitor their own players up to the moment that they're starting in these games.
Makes sense. They're stretched out, the starters, at that point, as you said, with Verlander. Why not do it?
And it falls on a day where you said he's throwing anyway. I like that one. Hey, what's the number on expansion if it finally – if two teams get added, what do you think the buy-in is? What's the ante?
Oh, boy. In terms of what the cost is going to be, and keep in mind, you know, Major League Baseball, the industry is going to take a hit this year with the bankruptcy of the Diamond Group, et cetera. You know, I've had one person tell me it's going to be a $1 billion hit to the industry. So the group of owners, they're going to be looking to recoup some money, and it's a business. And so, yes, there's going to be a ton of value in that. My instinct is that given that it's an expansion franchise, something in the range of $1.5 million, given the Marlins sold for $1.3, I think if you start to price it at $2.5, it goes, I mean, that's what the Mets were selling for. So my instinct is $1.5 billion. And Nashville, I absolutely believe, and I'm biased because I went to school there, they'll be one of the cities. And then the other one, I think that's more open-ended. I know they would love to have another team to balance out the divisions and sort of have a team out in either the Mountain Time Zone or the West Coast Time Zone, Pacific Time Zone, and that's why I wonder if Portland has an in.
What's the fight? Like, could the Braves – Nashville too close? Because I've always thought New Jersey might actually make sense, but I guess the power of the Mets and the Yankees, could that ever happen? Or even Philadelphia?
Yeah, and I thought about this vis-a-vis Nashville. It's almost like perfectly placed. It's a perfectly placed map dot, just far enough away from St. Louis, just far enough away from Cincinnati and Atlanta, where the territory might belong to the Braves in terms of the baseball map, but I think they could figure that out. And it's pretty clear Nashville has evolved into a major league city. As you guys know, the housing prices, real estate market has skyrocketed there. It would be a great place to drop in a major league team. They would work that out.
Could you do New Jersey?
The question I have is, would it be too close to the Phillies, Mets, Yankees, where you would have a lot of pushback? And maybe even the Orioles. You know, the Orioles might feel like, look, we're already struggling to survive. And now you're going to put another team that's within 2 or 3 hours of us. I see that less likely. And yeah, I do think the Yankees would fight it.
All right. Looking forward to opening night on ESPN, Buster Olney. I know you'll be a part of the coverage, and hopefully we could talk again once the season gets underway. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. See you guys.
Buster Olney with us from ESPN on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.